Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. I'm Greg Whiting, and today we are reading 1 Corinthians chapters 11 and 12. So you can turn there and get ready for Bible reading this morning. I encourage you to follow along in your copy of the Scriptures. I will be reading from the New International Version 2011. And then I want to encourage you to consider these passages and how they might apply to your life today. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that we have your Holy Spirit to be able to help us understand what it is you're trying to say to us. And I pray, Father, that just through the reading of your word today, we would gain more glimpse of you and how we are to order our lives in a way that's pleasing to you. And we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 11. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. This is just getting started here. The Apostle Paul, who had the authority of an apostle, could say whatever he wanted to, but he would usually try to say, only follow me, as I'm following Jesus. Verse 2. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the traditions just as I pass them on to you. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Okay, so that's going to be important as we read through the rest of this, because we're going to come upon several questions that come up in our mind. And this is not a Bible study. We're not going to go through every little detail or try to explain it here. We're reading and trying to take it in. But it's important that Paul is setting here the headship, the authority in Christ, and then between a man and a woman, which is the most difficult thing, I think, for us. And then even within the Godhead, God the Son, submitting to God the Father. So here we go, verse 4. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is the same as having her head shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, then she should cover her head. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman from man. It is for this reason that a woman ought to have authority over her own head because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not the very nature of things teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a disgrace to him, but that if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? For long hair is given to her as a covering. If anyone wants to be contentious about this, we have no other practice, nor do the churches of God. So I'll just pause here to mention, as you think about this passage, don't let it derail you. Let it lead you to more study. Consider the order of creation that never changes, even when there are some cultural things, certainly, that are here in this passage that do change. And the connection between man and woman, just like the connection and the respect that is supposed to be had between man and woman, the submission between each other in Ephesians 5. All right, let's move on. Verse 17. In the following directives, I have no praise for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. So this is a section, of course, on the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, communion, all the same thing. Apparently in that day, as they came together, they would eat and drink together as they remembered Jesus. They would try to do that at first as though Jesus and his disciples did it at the Last Supper. But they were, Corinthians has written to church in Corinth that is very ungodly, very selfish, really going against how God set up most things in their lives, and that includes this celebration of the Lord's table. So they would come and eat before other people got there, and eat the food, and drink, and abuse the table, which of course was sinful. In fact, some were even judged to the point of death because they were doing it that way. So he's trying to tell them, listen, you need to think about what you're doing here, what you're celebrating, and give preference to one another. Chapter 12. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. I'll pause here for a moment just to say chapters 12 to 14 now go into the whole area of spiritual gifts. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. All right. We will stop there at the end of chapter 12. Well, there's certainly a lot further study that can be done on these passages. So I'm trying to model for you a devotional reading. So that means you're kind of taking in consideration what you already know, what you have already studied, and note the things that you need to now study further. So for my mind and heart, this issue of spiritual gifts is what catches my attention. And really the importance of every single person who is a follower of Jesus, recognizing that the Holy Spirit lives in them. And if the Holy Spirit lives in them, they have spiritual gift. I have spiritual gifts. And I need to use them for God's glory in the body of Christ instead of wishing I had a different gift, instead of wishing I had somebody else's gift. And so that's certainly the same for you. To not say to anyone else, you're not important. You need to have this gift. Or to think of yourself as someone who is not important. We are all important. We can't just say, well, they can do that, therefore they can do the work of the ministry. All through the scripture, the principle is that we all are important and need to be a part of the body serving according to the gifts God has given us. So for me, takeaway is a reminder that I am important. I don't need to be like anybody else. I don't need to spend time wishing I had somebody else's gifts, but just to use my gifts for the glory of God and to encourage every one of you and everyone who's a part of our local body of believers, to use their gifts for the glory of God and the building up of His body. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Father, I pray that this reading and other readings that mention some things we're just not used to, some cultural things, some things that take deeper theological, biblical study. I pray, Father, that we would be patient with that we would study further before determining what we think we believe from one particular verse or passage. But Lord, help us to be able to take from here what you have for us to take from here today. Help me, Father, just to continue to serve according to the gifts you've given me and to be joyful in that serving and to not be jealous of others' gifts. And I pray, Father, that you would honor the use of the gifts you have given me and everyone else who's listening to me right now. That you would honor that as we use it for your glory, for your purposes, with the right heart attitude. In Jesus' name, amen.